Thank you, Irene, and thanks to the organizers for inviting me. For the first time I come to the Fields Institute, and I really have to say it's a really great place to stay and to do mathematics. So actually, when I was giving the title of my talk and deciding what to talk about at this workshop, I did not know that Marjolaine Puel, who was working with Jan Brenier and me and then with Laura Saint-Raymond on this very subject, would come. So I changed somewhat my talk in order that Marjolaine, who prepared a much better prepared than me, a beautiful talk on mathematical details and technical stuff. So it's not the introduction to her talk, but I hope that after both talks, you will not only understand the problem, but also the techniques that are quite involved. So what I want to talk is the equation that everybody here likes a lot. It's Lazarev equation. So let me just write down the equation in the way I will use it. So I put the minus here, and then we have the here we have the gradient psi f, just to fix my notations. So I will look at Vlasov equation with Lorentz force, so E is the electric field, psi rotation B is the part of the Lorentz force coming from the magnetic field, and here I have gradient x, gradient psi, so the usual structure. Now, this is the version of the equation where I have a magnetic field, and you can say magnetic field is a relativistic effect, and this will be an important point in my talk. So when you talk about relativistic case, you might also say you should consider the relativistic Lazarev equation. What would it mean in this context? Well, my psi that is in R3 or can be in RD, in arbitrary space dimension in this formulation, that my psi is changed to psi hat of psi given by the relativistic version. Okay? So, this is Vlasov or relativistic Vlasov. All I have to do is to look at the relativistic case. I change psi to that, and you immediately see this is bounded by 1, since for the moment. What? What is? So psi hat of psi is this? Is this function of psi? What is missing? Ah, excuse me. Here, the 1. Yeah. This would not converge to 1, so this would be very bad. Okay, thanks. Okay? And also, of course, here you would have to change to what I call psi hat, which really means that you go from the non-relativistic case to the relativistic case. So this is Lazarev equation. Now, you can take E and B as given fields in a linear case, but of course I want to look at the non-linear case. So what would it be to couple to Maxwell? Well, we just get the usual zero for the get the current here, and then we have the sources of the electric field, and now comes an important point, 1 over rho, I will explain what it is, and the magnetic field without sources, and the whole thing with initial data that have to be compatible to the equations, as you all know. Okay, so this would be the system I look at. And here I have put 1 minus rho. If you remember the talk of Walter Strauss, he had the doping profile or something here. So this would be the background of ions, and I assume it's constant equal to 1. This is an assumption that we have to do in this approach. Actually, if you start from the general model, you would have also a Vlasov equation for the positive ions, then you have new parameters coming in, you have the different masses of the ions and the electrons, and then you would couple two Blasov equations via these moments, and you would get a system of two Blasov equations with the Maxwell equation. So I really immediately start with a reduced model where the ions are just in this one, all this. So if I talk about a plasma, I talk about very light electrons, heavy positive ions that I can get out of this system. So this is, well, I think everything that can be said, Bob Plassey said in his talk about the system, there is a huge amount of work on it. What I'm particularly interested is doing asymptotic analysis for this system. So what does it mean, asymptotic analysis? I introduce physical parameters, and then I let them go to zero. So there would be two kind of limits I can consider. If I talk about asymptotic analysis, and now I will talk about some asymptotic analysis of Blasov Maxwell, because if you really now, I will put in some of the parameters in a scaled way. Now this is really one of the, not maybe one of the richest, but an extremely rich equation. I think the number of different scaling limits you can look at, starting with Blasov Maxwell equation, is really a source of several hundred papers or so. So this is really, you can think of mass coming in here. You have, of course, at some point speed of light, you have the permittivity of the medium, the permeability. So you have a lot of physical constants, and actually you can consider asymptotic limits for many of these constants in different scalings, going to different regimes. So in this room here, there are some of the best experts of this community that is concerned with the asymptotic analysis and deriving in hierarchies of models, different models. So what I will do is I will reduce myself to some selected cases where I myself have contributed. Okay, so what can be the parameters that we can identify in this context? So what I call gamma is 1 over c with c the speed of light. Then I would have a parameter called the permittivity. I call it epsilon. So this will be my parameter that will be small in any case. And then I can have a parameter that I define here, but this is really, in this context, the permeability. These are the three parameters that I do some scaling of the equation. So if I would really start with all the physical constants, then I introduce dimensionless parameters, and two of them, so one is depending on the others, two of them I can somewhat identify as my tuning parameters in this system. So if I introduce them properly here in the equation, these quantities, so I would get a small parameter. So think of E as the gradient of a potential, as if this is the Laplace. So I get a small parameter here. So what does it mean, a quasi-neutral limit, which is in the original title of my talk? It will mean if you think that epsilon goes to zero and you could just formal asymptotics now, you get density constant equal to 1. Okay, so this is the regime actually that I will consider in that Marjolaine Poulain, then she will somewhat relax this assumption. But essentially, quasi-neutral limit means that you get epsilon to zero here, which forces the density of the ions and the electrons to be always quasi-neutral in locally the same. So this is the one parameter, permittivity, that comes in here, and it also comes in. Yeah. In this way, it's epsilon square here. I dropped all my notation to that I have the same as Marjolaine afterwards. So in my original talk, I would have different notations because they, for some reason, they have chosen to work different ones. So this is really also here. Normally, what you would say is that permittivity times permeability is 1 over c squared. So I introduce it in this particular way. So this is not the standard way if you look in Jackson or some other book. Okay, so this is, so I get it here. So where would my alpha, that in some sense now contains 1 over alpha is proportional to 1 over c, so it's my non-relativistic parameter. Well, it should be in front of the derivatives here, and it should be here, and then it should be here in front of the current. Okay, so this is my way of introducing these two parameters, alpha in some sense, this notation 1 over c. And why did I put the gamma in? Because Magellan will then talk about the limit where we take the relativistic class of equation, and you would have the gamma square here. But you can only choose two of them. Okay? So this would be, in some sense, if I start my limits from or relativistic class of Maxwell. So if I now do some asymptotics in this scaling epsilon to zero or alpha to zero, then I go from class of Maxwell, and what I get in this regime, well, there are several things that can happen. If I, in our results, we basically always do this quasi-neutral limit, epsilon to zero, and then we will see that there is two possibilities. If we can keep alpha constant, let's say equal one, or not, we can get the fully non-relativistic limit into the equation or not. Okay, so this would be the two limits that we consider, but if you only do the limit, the non-relativistic limit, okay, so you start from relativistic class of Maxwell and you study only the limit speed of light to infinity without doing a quasi-neutral limit, then you stay. So here you have the object, the f, is a distribution function in phase space, so you stay on a microscopic level, on a kinetic level. If you do this, you go to Vlas of Poisson, which is still on the same footing. So this is work that has been done, and Jack Schaefer was the one who did this arrow. Pierre de Gaulle and some Japanese people did the limit from Vlas of Maxwell without the relativistic velocity to Vlas of Poisson. So this limit has no epsilon fixed. So this is really the, you stay on the kinetic level. Okay? So now, yeah, so this is just speed of light to infinity, and you stay on the kinetic level. Okay? Now, if you do limits, the other way of limits that is interesting is fluid limits, where you go from the kinetic description to a description where this rho is the density. So this would be a current that will also appear. So this limit, there you have something that you can call macroscopic. Or on the fluid level. Okay, so this would be another way of thinking of, so to go away from kinetic equations, and this was also mentioned, for example, this morning in the talk of Walter. So this is something, so this already indicates, already in this very limited regime of parameters I have introduced, you can get a lot of interesting questions. Of course, the limit from kinetic equations to fluid equations has provided some of the deepest recent mathematical results, and again, some of the best specialists with the best results are here in this room. So this is one way of thinking about asymptotic analysis starting from the Vlas of Maxwell system. The other interesting thing to do would be limits reaching the Vlas of Maxwell system. Relativistic or not. So there we have much less. So we have now to think of some system that in some hierarchy is higher up than the Vlas of Maxwell system. So there's essentially two things that you can think about. The first is starting from the n-particle system. So really you think of point particles, what is the underlying problem? Passing from the m-particle system to in some limit n to infinity. Okay? So I don't know of any rigorous result. I think, Gerhard, you saw in some seminar you were posing the problem, but is there any? This was for Lazarus Poisson only. Yeah. Okay. So this is something where, okay, just wanted to go sure that I don't know even how to formulate. If you think of the other system, the non-relativistic case, so Lazarus Poisson, there is the situation is much better. This is the same in the quantum case, by the way. If you want to derive another system, I will introduce Dirac Maxwell from some relativistic many-body quantum system. We don't even know how to formulate it. When you go to the non-relativistic case to derive Schrödinger Poisson from some n-particle system, this is recently, but now quite well understood. So here I really don't know even how to start with. Okay. The other thing that you can think of is a limit, a classical limit. One of my personal favorite says, so you take h bar, Planck scaling, where Planck constant goes to zero. So what would be the system to reach Lazarus Maxwell? It would be Dirac Maxwell. And also there, we don't really have good progress. We have now nice progress doing the limit, the non-relativistic limit, so from Dirac to Schrödinger Poisson. Then in this diagram to Lazarus Poisson, this we know. But for this limit up here, so derive the relativistic Lazarus Maxwell by some semi-classical limit, the techniques that we have for this and this part, we don't get the estimates for this. What I'm currently doing with Sigmund Selberg is, after we did the same as Nader Masmoudi and Nakanishi with Kleinemann-Makedon estimates to this part, we now somewhat know how to do the diagonal, but in a very particular way. So we have to have log of C smaller than 1 over h bar. So we do a very fast non-relativistic limit and then basically a perturbation of Schrödinger Poisson and to use the techniques that we know for this case. So, but these techniques and even the techniques of the diagonal will not, for the moment, we don't see at all how to reach this. So, for this part, limits to the relativistic class of Maxwell is still basically completely open. I mean, for the linear case, just to go from Dirac to relativistic Vlasov, there we have this result with Gerard, Markovitch, and Poupeau, but this is Wigner theory for the linear case, so it's not at all clear that this can push to the nonlinear case. Okay, so this part is still very unsatisfying. So here, what I want to report today, and then leave it to Marjolaine to present her result that she did after she and Jan Brenier and myself did the first works on it. This is basically now in this equation, make this quasi-neutral limit and then add a non-relativistic limit or not. So what would be the thing that you expect? So let's first rewrite the Vlasov equation for the first two moments. Okay, so my rho and my j are defined as f dx I in the relativistic case. I would have to use my, now it's correct, my function psi hat of psi, so this doesn't keep the general structure that the current is the first moment of this density. So what do I get as the equations if I do the, now the, take the equation and do the these manipulations? So of course I get the conservation law. And then for the current, I would get an expression. This is the tensor product of the vector psi, which is my dual variable to position, so my velocity in the non-elliptic case. Then I get density times E, and then I get the rotation of B. And if I bring in now the constants, then I would get an alpha here. Okay, so this is just rewriting the Vlasov equation for these two quantities. Okay, so this would yield these two equations, and now you can start to do formal guesses. What would happen now if you do the two limits that I was announcing in my title? So the first limit, epsilon to zero plus alpha to zero. So again, alpha is essentially 1 over c with this, in this notation, so be careful with this, that we get the epsilon square here. So we do a simultaneous scaling 1. You take epsilon to be very small, so very small permittivity, which means that immediately the positive and negative ions balance each other, and speed of light infinity. So in that case, you will not keep any relativistic effect, so the magnetic field will vanish, and what you recover is incompressible Euler. Okay, so I will not explicitly write them down here. Marjolaine will have these equations in a very scaling on her transparency. Okay, so this is the first scaling. The second scaling, let me say something. One important assumption, of course, in order that this works, I have to make an assumption on my initial data that it's at least asymptotically monokinetic. This means that my F is vectorized into the density times a delta in psi minus V, where V is current over density. So at least asymptotically. Because if you take this now and you plug this expression in, where do I have it? You plug this in here, and then you realize that you can, by using the delta and the integration over psi, that you really get incompressible Euler. So this is an important assumption in the whole thing. So the one important assumption was that the density of the ions is really constant one, or at least asymptotic. Yeah. I mean, in this limit, I consider. So either it's really monokinetic, or at least in the limit when epsilon goes to zero, that I have a monokinetic initial profile. So this you can relax. Okay. So if you have this additional assumption, and the ions at least asymptotically a constant, the positive ions a constant profile. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, this is what I should have said. This means that the electron temperature is zero. Yeah, thank you. Okay? So you really get some, so that this would mean that rho is equal to 1, and then you have the usual equation for the current, as you have to have in incompressible Euler. So the second scaling is, I do again this. Yeah, in this situation there's no problem. So the other limit is, this is in some sense more interesting, let's keep some relativistic effect, let's fix alpha equal to 1 and do only the quasi-Newton limit. So now if you just do the formal manipulations, you get a system where again the entity is 1, but the equation of rho contains the term with the here now I have article 1 with the magnetic field. Okay? So this means the magnetic field is really left. I mean, just one remark. If you really now think of a plasma in some physical situation, what I consider here is only the self-consistent magnetic field, really created by the particles as they move sufficiently slowly to justify a non-realistic approximation. I don't talk about the given linear magnetic field that might in the tokamak contain the plasma. So this you will also in the first limit, I mean, if you have this additional potential, it's not the self-consistent case, then things somewhat change. So I really only talk about the magnetic field created in a self-consistent way by the moving charges. Okay, this is just an important remark here. So if I do this scaling, I get a set of equations that have these additional terms in comparison to incompressible Euler, and of course also in my, if you look at the Maxwell equations, so not putting alpha to 1, of course, leaves non-trivial equations here. Okay, so these are the two cases where our method, but let's say the method of Jan Brenier, works. So what is the what is the new thing that we have brought in? This is the method of modulated energy. And this name was introduced by Brenier when he did the limit for the Vlasov-Poisson system to incompressible Euler. So what is the basic idea? So modulated energy. So think of kinetic energy and then be modulated by something. And this something that does the modulation is the smooth solution of the limit equation. So if you think of the kinetic energy, this would be the, maybe a factor two missing, I'm never strict on that. So you replace this would be the kinetic energy by an expression. So this V, this is the same symbol that I have used here. So my limiting system is an equation for J since rho is equal 1 in my context, so this is completely trivial, that V and J is the same. So you bring in the solution of your formal limit system and define this quantity. And then you get estimates for this quantity. I mean, that's the mathematical thing. So this is how you explain and you memorize easily the word moderated energy. And then if you take the energy of the Vlasov-Maxwell system, of course, you have the energy E squared and B squared of the electromagnetic field, and you can also modulate this by the solutions of the limit system that you consider. This it has also been called, so modulated energy, relative entropy. So this is the same idea in a similar context, and this was, as Jan has found out, da Fermos in his book in 2000, but I don't know which year he actually introduced it, and then also Huang Xiaoyao this was 91, this was quite early, when he did when he considered limits of the Ginzburg-Landau equation. He also used something that would we call now moderate energy under the name relative entropy method. Okay, so it's, and at the same idea is actually between the modulated Hamiltonian method of Grenier in a paper. So there are several authors that used this idea to modulate the energy like this. And this is a technique that actually for special cases works. So if you change the setting here, it will not work. In particular, we need this assumption that, at least asymptotically, this is constant. Okay? So, that was all for my part. Thank you.